noticed it's not in the, that's okay. We're going to read Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. You'll find it on page 1081 in your pew Bible. We're going in again, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem loons, no clowns, no ponies. But yet each year after that, we celebrate. So we're really having an anniversary. And the reason I bring this up is because we're celebrating an anniversary or a birthday, if you will, today. Today is the day of Pentecost. In the Old Testament, the Jews were instructed to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost or the Feast of Weeks. Now, this was roughly 50 days after God gave the law, or after Passover, where God gave the law on Mount Sinai. Excuse me, I got that mixed up. So 50 days after Passover, God says, celebrate Pentecost. Pentecost basically means 50. And what they were doing is they were celebrating or honoring God, for he gave the law. So here we are in Jerusalem, as we read in Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, we read in Acts that Pentecost arrived and they all came to worship, all in one place. Now they, when they're first speaking in first of they, we're talking about the apostles. They'd come together. Now, they were kind of struggling with what was going on. If you remember, Jesus had died and resurrected. And before he went into heaven, in Acts 4, you read, Jesus says, and while staying with them, this is Jesus, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you hear from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So though they were mourning the loss of their Savior and their Lord, they were comforted knowing that God's promises are true. And if Jesus says God will deliver what he has promised, guess what? He will. Now, oftentimes, as we talked a little bit in Sunday school today, God doesn't like to do it in our time. You know, oftentimes as Christians, we pray for patience. You know, dear Lord, give me patience, do it now. Kind of doesn't seem to make sense, but we do it. We're guilty of it. But in this particular case, as Jesus was telling the apostles, there will be a time when the Holy Spirit will come to you. As he had promised in his teachings, I must go so that a comforter can come. Now, the wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit coming down, as you read in the story, the Holy Spirit was applied to each and every one present, and they also saw the benefits of it. The Holy Spirit is personal, but it's universal. The love of God is personal, but it's universal. The salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ is personal, yet it's universal. There's only one way to get to the Father, and that's through the Son. Yet, here they are in this time of Pentecost. Now, some of them did not hear what Jesus had said. Not the apostles had, but those who were worshiping God at the Feast of Pentecost had not heard what Jesus had promised. Yet they heard the apostles preaching the word of God. Salvation through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, was resurrected. He was the sacrificial lamb promised to all people. But these were Jewish people. They knew their Old Testament. They may not have met Jesus. They might not have known Jesus, but they knew their Old Testament. And the Old Testament in the book of Joel, in chapter 2, starting at verse 28, God promises in the day of the Lord, as you read in a lot of the minor prophets, there's a lot of doom and destruction and conviction of sin and angst for the people of the world. But in almost every one of them, it ends up with, in the day of the Lord, when the time comes that the Lord will redeem his people. This is what's happening in the book of Joel at verse 28. He says, "And it shall come to pass afterward," this is the day of the Lord, "I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young man shall see visions. Even the male and female servants, on those days I will pour out my spirit." Is it just the Jews? No. God says, "I will pour out my spirit on all types of mankind." So these people who were sitting there, and all of a sudden, they hear Jesus is Lord. Jesus is your salvation. He is the promised Messiah. And they heard it in the language they understood. Yet what is their response? Aren't all these people Galileans? Are not all these people Galileans? Now, how did they know they were Galileans? Well, unlike me, the Galileans speak with an accent. And they could determine that it was the Galileans from their dialect and the way they said things. But they said, "Aren't these all Galileans? How is it that we can hear what they're saying in our native language?" They were amazed. They were astonished. We don't get it. What? Imagine the apostles as they were speaking the word of God, and people were coming to them saying, "I hear what you're saying," but they were saying, "I hear what you're saying" in a language that they didn't understand. It was a miracle of miracles, but it was the power of the Holy Spirit coming down to proclaim to the world, God is in charge, and he is faithful to his promises. Now, it kind of gives a sketch of where the people were from. They were all gathering together as Jews or proselytes. Those are people who were converted to Judaism. But they were all gathered together. The Parthians from Greece, the Medes from the Middle East, the Elamites from south of Israel, the residents of Mesopotamia, again, the Middle East, Judea, close to home, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia. Paul writes to the letters of Asia, Ephesus and Colossians and Galatians. All these people, they're all gathered together for the purpose of worshiping God, and yet in this time they hear God has fulfilled the promise of the Old Testament and his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, they were there to honor, recognize, if you will, the Pentecost, the 50 days, the day that God gave the law. But as we know, again, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because it might get embarrassing. We'll just keep to the 10. How many of you keep the law? I'm not going to make a mistake and raise my hand. No, you can't. It's not possible. Yet God gave the law to Israel. He gives the law to us to say, I want you to be different than the world. I don't want you to be just like them. I want you to be exceptional. I want you to know how much I love you. Here is the law. No, you can't keep it. Strive to keep it. But if you depend on the law for your salvation, you are doomed. You will not be in the presence of God in the afterlife. But yet the law shows how much we do need a Savior. So here these people were coming together to celebrate the anniversary of the giving of the law. And this is the time God says, it's time for me to proclaim the fulfillment of the law. What did Jesus say? I did not come to condemn the law, but to fulfill the law, every jot and every tittle. For if Jesus failed to keep the law, would he also not need a Savior? But he says, I did it all. And he tells us, go forth and keep my commandments. Not perfectly, we're not able to. But more and more, as the Holy Spirit indwells in our lives, this is where it gets personal. The Holy Spirit is everywhere, but yet the Holy Spirit, when you confess Jesus, I'm a sinner, I can't live without you. Lord, please redeem me. Give me the confidence in knowing that you are my Savior, my King, my Lord, and I submit to you. The Holy Spirit then comes and indwells here. You know, there are people who say, well, my body's not a temple. In a way, it kind of is. Because where does the Holy Spirit dwell? Out there, yes, but it's also personal. Holy Spirit dwells inside us. You know, I'm not trying to be disrespectful when I say this, so please forgive me if you think I am. The Holy Spirit kind of acts like Jiminy Cricket to Pinocchio. Y'all know the story? Okay. Jiminy Cricket was kind of Pinocchio's conscience. Pinocchio would decide, I want to do things for myself and do it the way I want to do it. And Jiminy Cricket would often be there saying, no, you know better than that. You shouldn't do that. And oftentimes, Pinocchio would ignore him, and bad things would happen. But here's what the Holy Spirit does. It comes down not to these people so that they could hear firsthand the power of Jesus Christ, the salvation that was given to them, also given to you. But yet the Holy Spirit also says, we will grow together in knowing and loving the Lord. How powerful a message that comes from knowing and loving the Lord. And their response as they hear in their own tongues the mighty works of God. Remember, they didn't have the New Testament then. They just had the Old Testament. But the Old Testament, throughout the Old Testament, God reminded them, I will have a remnant. You will be my God. I will be your people. I am a merciful God, but I'm also a jealous God. I will send a Redeemer. I will send a Messiah, the promised one, to relieve you of your sins. It's all Old Testament. And yet it's fulfilled in this one man, this one God, Jesus Christ, who lived the perfect life, the life we couldn't live, to die the death that we should die, but we won't. Even in his last words on the cross, and all the pain and the sorrow he felt. Some of his last words were, "Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Yet here these people here, this is the wonderful news. This is the good news. We are saved of our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. And as I was reading this story, not the right words, as I was reading the scripture, it kind of took me back to a time when man, as we often do, think we don't need God. And not only do we don't need God, our ultimate goal as man, sinful man, is to want to be like God. In Genesis chapter 11, there's a story. This is after the flood. And I'm going to read Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. "Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said one to another, 'Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. And they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top into the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves.'" Me. "Let us make a name for ourselves. Lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." Remember what I said? We've got to make a name for ourselves or we will be dispersed. It's all about me. Man-centered worship. Me, me, me. "And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, 'Behold, there are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they can do, or they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them.'" What does God want from his people? A relationship. And God was seeing that if they're able to do everything, man can able to do everything without God in their presence, without recognizing God for who he is, they won't think they need God. So God says, "Come, let us go down." And there confused their languages so they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth. And they left off building the city. Therefore, the name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the languages of the earth. And from there the Lord dispersed them all over the faces of the earth. And as I read that story, and I kept thinking, well, this is interesting. At one point, when everybody spoke the same language, they ignored God. They chose not to recognize God for who he was as creator, recognize God as who he was redeemer, recognize God as who he was comforter. They says, "We can do it all by ourselves. Let us come together. Let's build." And not only do we want to build this city where we are protected, but we also want to build a tower to go to the heavens so we can be with God. So we can be a God. Lower G. Yet God knew that was not what his people needed. So he confused the languages. Several years later, people from all over the world are coming speaking different languages. Yet, on this day of Pentecost, they hear the word of God, the promise of God in a language that they can understand. For they were able to know how much they needed that Savior. How much they needed the love of God. As you read through the book of Acts, if you want to give a theme for the book of Acts, the word was preached, and the numbers of believers grew. It all started right here in Acts chapter 2. Because not only did they hear in their own languages, when they went home, they were able to proclaim what they had heard in their native tongue to the people around them. It didn't stop in Jerusalem. It started there, but yet it's growing more and more and more each and every day. So we have been called. Share the good news of Jesus Christ. And I know it's hard, and because oftentimes we'll think, well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know a lot about Scripture, and I know Jesus loves me, and Jesus is my Lord and Savior, but I'm no expert. Remember when I said it's universal, but it's personal? You are not an expert on the works of the Lord. Neither am I. And the more I study, the more I realize I'm never going to be an expert at the works of the Lord. But you have personal relationship with Christ, and you are that expert with your relationship with the Lord. Share it. That's what we're called to do. So this day, as we're reading about Pentecost, I say, happy birthday, church. Not First Church here in Ellerby, but the Christian church founded on the blood of Jesus Christ. I did not bake cakes. I did not blow up balloons. But let us celebrate the glory of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord God, how we do thank you again for this time together. We thank you, Lord, how much for your love for us. We can't fathom the pain your son went through. We can't grasp the rejection he felt. We can't grasp the pain, the emotional pain experience. But Lord, how we thank you for it. We thank you for your love. And be with us each day, Lord, to grow closer to you, to share your love with the world, that we can boldly proclaim Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Pour your Holy Spirit upon us to share this with the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. At this time, we open up your hymnals to hymn number 80. Let us sing together, stand and sing together, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. Hymn number 80. Let's see here.